Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Yesterday in our study of 1 John chapter 3, I taught that a Christian seeks purity not because he loves the law, but because he loves the Lord. Let's continue with that thought today. Look at verse 3. It says, "And every man that hath his hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." Now, don't forget the verses before that said that it does not appear what we shall be, but we know that when we shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. That talks about our change at the rapture. And he says, if you really have this hope in you, you purify yourself even as he is pure. So the hope of heaven and being like him, if that is a real faith, because a real faith acts. And so if we have a real act of faith, what will we do if we really believe that we're going to be changed? Be fashioned after his glorious body, as we're taught in the Bible, in 1 Peter chapter 3. Well, we're going to purify ourselves. The one who does not want standards and morals in their lives is the one who doesn't want to purify himself through the blood of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, when religion takes on a contemporary look, and it has a religious sense, but it's the religion that reflects the world of the day, you are headed for the same kind of a sin that he's speaking of here. Those that don't purify themselves, therefore you commit sin. You're transgressing. You're transgressing the very laws of God. Now look, you say, well, you're a legalist if you worry about law. Okay. I'm a married man. I've been married 48 years. I've kept my vows. Keep thee only to her so long as you both shall live. I've never broken that vow. So let me ask you this. There is a law of marriage. Am I free to break that law to say, well, honey, I'm going to go out tonight and date somebody. I may go to a motel with them or whatever. No. No. You see, now, I don't do that because I love my wife. Well, in the same manner, if you love God, you seek purity. Not because it's a law, but because you love the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know that it is really something that is good for you. And so you want it in your life. So, seeing the reality of sin, we look at, in verse 4, we next see the evidence of sin's removal in verse 5. Let me read those two verses together again. Verse 4, the reality of sin. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is a transgression of the law. Then verse 5, and we know that he was manifested to. Now, we're going to tell why Jesus Christ was manifested. It was to take away our sin. And in him is no sin. So, we see the evidence of sin's removal in verse 5. In Hosea of the Old Testament, chapter 14 and verse 2. Now, I want you to listen very closely to this verse. It's very important now. Listen closely. to Hosea chapter 14, verse 2. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, that is, say unto the Lord, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. Now, you turn to the Lord and you ask him to take away your iniquity and receive you graciously or in grace. Now, that's an Old Testament passage, but understand, when you're turning to Christ, we call it repentance. When you're turning to him, you can't get rid of your sin. You're turning to him to take away your sin. So, he does. You're asking for his grace. And you praise him for it because you know you can't do it. You know, in verse 5, is intuitive knowledge. As you would know, if you run in front of a train that is rolling down the track, it will kill you. Even though you have not ever experienced running in front of a train and it killing you, you still know that if you run in front of a train on that's rolling down the track and it hits you, you know you are dead. So now he says, ye know that he was manifested to take away our sin. That's what you should know about Jesus Christ. He was manifested to take away our sin. Because I say so? No. Because the Bible says so. See, we could not do it. Now, Hosea chapter 14, verse 2 calls us to turn unto the Lord to take away all iniquity. Now, friend, you and I cannot do that ourselves. In Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, we read this. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of son. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. She shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. You don't save yourself from your sin. He does. He buys us back from the penalty of sin with his blood. 1 Peter 2:24 says, who his own self bare our sin in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. Now, you got saved? We see in these verses I've read, whether it's Hosea or Matthew 1:21, 1 Peter 2:24, Galatians 4:4 and 5, we were saved that we might live unto righteousness. God said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 and 16, be ye holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. And he repeats it from verse 15 to verse 16. That must be very important, especially in verse 14, when he tells us that we put off this former lust. So again, whether you say spirit is this or spirit is that or any other thing, the Bible tells us what sin is, what spirit is, and what all of it is. You do not have the liberty, according to the Spirit of God, you don't have the liberty to walk and live in such a way that it glorifies the prince of the power of the air, who is Satan. He didn't free us to sin. He didn't free us to fulfill the lust of the flesh. He freed us from that power. So again, we are saved from the penalty of sin and the power of sin over us in this life. But we're not saved from the presence of sin. That is why chapter 1, verse 9 and 10 says this, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. How would he be just to forgive us our sins? Because his blood has paid the penalty. So it's only just when we come to him on his term, confessing our sins, seeking him for cleansing, that he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Again, he cleanses the Christian as well from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Would you call God a liar? If you say you've not sinned, you're calling God a liar. My friend, I wouldn't want to stand before his judgment with that on my record. In him, we're told here, in our text, in him was no sin. He was impeccable. He was sinless. He was sinless in word. He was sinless in deed. He was sinless in thought. And in every way imaginable, he was sinless. And that was the only way in which Jesus Christ could become our Savior. So we see verse 4, the reality. We are all sinners headed to hell. In verse 5, we see the removal of sin by Jesus Christ from all who receive him. Now that takes us on then to verse 6, revealing the evidence of the saved. Look again at verse 6. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Now, since we continually come short of the glory of God, what is meant by sinneth not? And one who does hath not, that is the idea of hath not ever seen or known him. Now, abideth, by the way, is like the word whosoever, because there is a false doctrine that is out there today of only some are predestined to be saved. No. How many times does the Bible have to say whosoever for it to be whosoever? If God said it once, that's all it counts. He said whosoever. There's something you don't understand in another part of the Bible, then you're probably misinterpreting it. Okay? So again, abideth in the Greek is like that as well. That is, somebody that continually dwells with him, lives with, walks with. That's what the idea behind the word abideth is.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you'd like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible says, I will plant my feet on its firm foundation.